Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
And we're off and running in today's edition of Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel taking you around the NFL for the next hour. A lot of news and notes to get to. The calm before the storm, Scotty. About a week away from the NFL draft, we saw teams such as the Washington Commanders come out yesterday and say, you know what? They're very confident at the number two spot. They have no intention of obviously wheeling and dealing, and they're very confident on potentially the player that they're going to take. We've seen some market fluctuation now between Drake May and Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? You never, Joe, or at least you rarely hear a club say, yeah, we're content. We're going to stay where we are. I mean, everybody, you could have the greatest player in the history of mankind as the number one overall pick, and you're sitting there in a top spot, and that team generally will say, yeah, well, we're open to trade. You never know, right? Knowing full well that's never going to happen. So it's so rare for a team like Washington yesterday to come out and say, yeah, you know, we're set. We're going to draft number two. I wish they would say who it is. You know, I wish the Bears would just say, okay, we're going to draft Caleb Williams and then Jalen Daniels, and then, you know, we get a little heads up by this thing.
Right? It really is crazy on some of these teams. And then you had your New England Patriots, that their GM came out and said, you know what? We're open for business. We're wheeling. Yeah. We're dealing. Heck, we don't even need a pick potentially in the first round. If you want to give us five or six in maybe the second or third round, we'll build our team accordingly. So that is the difference in terms of the mindset about where some of these teams are entering this draft, and more importantly, the upcoming season, as we welcome in our Sports Grid radio audience right here to Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel breaking down the movement as it relates to the 2024 NFL draft, talking about Washington and their comments saying that they're going to stay pat at number two. That is the biggest thing too, Scott. And, you know, I know you and I haven't really talked a whole lot over the past couple of weeks, but I've been steadfast saying that in order for the Washington Commanders, if in fact they are staying at number two, there is no shot that Harris and this new organization right now can pick Drake May or J.J. McCarthy to start the new era of Washington Commander football when you had 20 years of mediocrity plus with Daniel Snyder and that, you know, terrible coaching staff with Ron Rivera last year. When you have the Heisman Trophy winner staring you in the face, if you opt out of that type of situation, what does that say to the fan base?
I know. Are you selling any tickets? Are you creating any buzz by announcing it's J.J. McCarthy? I mean, I don't think the Patriots are going to take him either. I think he's going to be the one out of all the quarterbacks that's going to drop and people are going to be scratching their head saying, gee, what's going on, right? I think he's going to be the one. Because I don't think the Patriots are going to take him, Joe, because they already did that with Mac Jones. You know, I was telling this to George yesterday, right? All right, so 3 years ago, they take a quarterback that, you know, didn't have the greatest numbers, but they said everything about about Mac Jones that they said about J.J. McCarthy. Oh, he's a winner. He's this. He's that. All he does is win. He makes all the smart plays, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that doesn't cut it in the NFL. It just doesn't. If J.J. McCarthy was that great, they would have thrown at least one pass in the second half against Penn State. I mean, you can't tell me he's the greatest quarterback in the world, Jimmy Harbaugh, when you didn't even utilize him. He threw for 300 yards one time last year. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So you want to draft him in a second, third, fourth round, knock yourself out. But I don't think he's going two. I don't think he's going three. I would be surprised if it wasn't Daniels. But you never know. Could be May. But it is interesting to see them say, okay, we basically – although if you read the story – and I don't believe this, but if you read the story says they're not sure who they're taking yet. You can't be a week before the draft, Joe, and had all this time and not know by now who you're taking, right?
Right. Well, think about this, Scotty. It's not like they have 16 teams ahead of them that they have to say, well, if this – you got the top two picks here. You have to know top two or three, 1, 2, 3, or 1, 2, 3. There's only three scenarios that could play out where you don't get your guy, right? So, I mean, come on now. I agree with you 100%. I will say this in regards to – and I agree with you in the mindset of New England as well. They rolled the dice in terms of where they took Mac Jones. Number 11 overall, didn't pan out. Bailey Zappe was an admirable backup for the most part, had good, had bad, had ugly, you know, but he's not a starter in this league. But, you know, to Mac Jones's defense, if we're talking Mac Jones and J.J. McCarthy, right, the difference with Mac Jones is he completed 77% of his passes and had one of the most prolific offenses in all of the COVID season in leading his team to a national championship over Justin Fields, right? I mean, it's almost like Joe Burrow-esque. When you look at J.J. McCarthy, there's good, there's bad, and there's mediocre, right? So I have always said this. If you're going to draft J.J. McCarthy as a project, that's not a problem in the first round. I don't have a problem with it. What I have a problem with is drafting him in the top three, or more importantly, top five, and saying that this guy is a franchise quarterback based off of what? Physical attributes? Possibly, but you can't take that risk when you have Jaden Daniels staring you in the face that did it at the best competition against the best defenses in the SEC, can do it with his legs as well as his arm, and is one of the best pure passers in college football that we've seen. How can you pass that up for the unknown of J.J. McCarthy?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope they're not buying into it. I'm not a Commanders fan, so any team that buys into him, I think would be foolish. I mean, these GMs can't be that dumb, can they, Joe?
They can.
Jim Harbaugh is saying he's a good quarterback, so you know what? We're going to take him for his word. I mean, we have miles and miles of game film. You sit down and talk with these guys. You eat bread. You eat dinner with these guys. I mean, you get to know these guys like he's your son. I mean, I don't think you need an endorsement from Harbaugh to make you say, okay, McCarthy's going to be the guy. I mean,
no, you're right.
I don't see.
But let me ask you this. I'll go back a few years ago. Were the GMs drunk when they selected Trey Lance third overall and traded up for him in San Francisco, or Zach Wilson, or Mac Jones? And I know you're not a big Justin Fields guy, but you can't tell me that based off of what we've seen out of all four of those quarterbacks, Justin Fields isn't head and shoulders in those three that we just mentioned.
Yeah, I will grant you that. Yeah, he's probably out of the four. He's probably the best one from the
list. Right.
And you can even throw in Will Levis. I think he stinks. Malik Willis. I remember talking to you about Willis. We both agreed. What are they doing taking this guy? I mean, he should not be talked about as far as one of the better quarterbacks coming out of college because he had one goofy year at Liberty in his junior year, and now he's sitting a bench, nowhere to be found with Tennessee.
It is amazing, though, Scotty. It really is in terms of the perception about what they believe they see and what reality really is when you just break it down in terms of what they've done in terms of their college football careers. We're just getting started. When Scott and I come back, we'll talk more NFL draft, maybe jump into some futures as well. Keep it where it is, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
And we're back. Football Full Circle. Lisi and Wetzel breaking down the NFL draft. Also talking about all things NFL. We left off talking about the quarterbacks. We talked about maybe the top three picks in this coming draft. Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, and Caleb Williams. Before we transition, Scott, I do want to give a take because I'm not that sold. The way you believe J.J. McCarthy is going to drop, I actually believe it'll be Drake May. I'm not sold on Drake May. I've seen his career throughout North Carolina. And again, you know, I do not believe that Washington goes that route. I know there's been some market fluctuation. They had Jaden Daniels minus 310. Now he's right there at minus 110, you know, Drake May on the move. And I said this before, Drake May in big games against Clemson never won. He was under 50% completion percentage against Clemson at 44%. He lost to NC State, a mediocre NC State team at the end of the year, tailed off in back-to-back years. I consider him much of a project just the way J.J. McCarthy is.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of his either. You know, we've had quarterbacks come and go out of North Carolina, right? That have not all the hype in the world and the Mitch Trubisky's of the world, and how well and how poorly have they done, right? For the most part, poorly. Now, does that mean Drake May's going to be the same exact way? No, but what it does mean is that, especially in the ACC, Joe, you know, the defense is not exactly a highlight in the ACC or the Pac-12. So you got to take those quarterbacks with a grain of salt on how well they can look and everything else. Guy can't win in college. You know, how's he going to win in the NFL? That's how I kind of view it. I much prefer a guy who's been on a team that's won big games, been in a lot of big games. I think Daniels, to me, is head and shoulders. I agree with you as far as that's concerned. I think Daniels head and shoulders above Drake May. I think you're asking for a lot of trouble. If you draft Drake May, you might be on the unemployment line in 3 years.
I agree with you. I agree. And people are like, no, he's got the size, the arm. He couldn't be Clemson. And we know where Clemson is in regards to that. They're not the same dominant team that they were 3, 4, 5 years ago when they had Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. You know, but Dabo Swinney and that team as a whole have fell off a cliff in back-to-back years. So if you can't even beat them, what do you expect? And the argument I've heard is this. Well, Joe, he didn't have elite talent around him. What do you expect? Well, what do you think he's going to have picking in terms of the top three teams of the NFL draft? Do you think New England has a world of talent in terms of the skill players? Juju Smith-Schuster is not the second coming of Jerry Rice. Hunter Henry and Juju Smith are not elite. We're not talking about Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce. So, if you can't do it with that team, it's not really going to translate to the NFL. So, again, Drake May doesn't move the needle for me. I will say this. I believe if it came down to J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, or Michael Penix, I would rather take a shot on Michael Penix that I know at least threw for over 4,000 yards against pretty good competition, and the kid stepped up, and he's played in big games and led his team to an undefeated regular season record and at least won a playoff game. I'd much rather take that guy than those two.
Yeah, I still don't know why. Bo Nix, boy, he is dropping like a 10-ton rock here, right? I mean, out of the four quarterbacks that Washington brought in, you know, they didn't bring in Bo Nix. It's like if you're going to bring this smoke screen and, you know, and you're going to have all these quarterbacks come in as they did, you left him off the table there for whatever reason. I still think he's the best one out of outside of Daniels. I'm not even sold on Caleb Williams. They're making this guy out to be the next Johnny Unitas. They really are. I mean, they take out the game against Notre Dame. I mean, I know he can throw and he's this and that, but I don't think he's like going to be the greatest thing in the world like they're billing him. I think Nix is the one. He's the one that's got the numbers. He's the one that's got the ability. He's been on a good team. They played big time games. Did they beat Washington? No, I'll grant you that. But he threw for 239 yards, 3 touchdowns in the Pac-12 championship. That wasn't necessarily his fault. So I think he's the one for whatever reason is dropping, and yet he's the one that I would take second overall.
Yeah, well, you know, completion percentage translates, I believe, to the NFL. Okay, it didn't really do that with Mac Jones. You know, again, I think part of it was bad fit. I thought the other part was he just wasn't ready. But if you're going to take a quarterback that at least completes 77, 78% of his passes, he's an accurate decision maker, right? He understands how to place balls in tight windows. He understands how to read coverage. He's not turning the football over. He's not putting your offense at a disadvantage and giving the opposition short opportunities to score. So that would be a quarterback that I would gauge on the next level, depending upon where we're at, right? You know, for me, the top quarterback is Jaden Daniels, but I understand your breakdown of Bo Nix, 45 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and oh, by the way, he can run the football as well. Here's the other thing too, Scott, and we'll get into the odds as well. We'll break it down. If I am picking a quarterback, my decision solely whether this guy is a franchise quarterback or not comes down to two factors. Does he have it in regards to big games in his college career? And if my team is trailing with about 2 minutes left in the game or I need a come-from-behind score, can he be that guy in that type of situation? If the answer is no, you should not be taking him in the top 3 or 5.
Yeah. But how do you rate that? How do you judge that? You look at games, and most of these guys have been in games in which the teams have won by 20, 30 points. You know, I like Penix Jr., but, you know, every time I look at him, man, he's an injury waiting to happen, and he's got, to me, 2 tags written all over him, which, you know, in some aspects is good. I'll grant you that. But, you know, I don't like these lefty quarterbacks. I just don't. Nix, to me, would be the one. I think Washington will go with Daniels. To me, the ace is the New England Patriots. And I can't believe, Joe, the Patriots would actually pass on a quarterback, you know, because they have Jacoby Brissett and, you know, they don't have a whole heck of a lot more than that, granted, but are they going to be in the top 3 next year? I don't know if they'll be that bad again. Like, Brissett can bring them to 6-7 wins, and next year they're going to be drafted in 10-11-12, and they're not going to have, you know, the third choice anymore in quarterbacks. So they better make darn sure, if they don't draft a quarterback, one, they better trade out and get a whole lot for the pick, and then they better make sure that none of those quarterbacks that are drafted after 2 are any good.
Well, that's where I think Minnesota comes in. Now, the odds in regards to the quarterbacks taken in the first round, a little bit shocking. You have 4.5, heavily juiced to the over at minus 250. If they were to trade, let's say, with Minnesota, and let's just say Minnesota covets J.J. McCarthy according to the reports that we've read, right? They trade 3 for 11. At 11, you could still pick up potentially Penix and Nix, to your point, because they have a 33.5 overall slot for Penix, which is mind-boggling if you think about it. That hasn't fallen it potentially out of the first round. So if they're at number 11, they could clearly pick up either one or two of those players.
Yeah, that's I am surprised at that, aren't you? That one, I mean, that explains why the number of quarterbacks selected in the first round is 4.5 when you have one of the guys that low. I'm sure Nix, I don't have those numbers in front of me. I'm sure Nix has got to be right around there as well. So, but I would be shocked. I mean, who wants to lay minus 250 on any bet, Joe? But you're telling me two of those guys, you know, we know the top 3, whatever order it is, you know, those top 3 are going in the top 10, even worst case scenario, right? So you need 2 out of the remaining 3 guys to not be drafted in the first round. I find that hard to believe. With all these teams needing quarterbacks, that's a great bet, over 4.5.
I know you got to lay 250. I would like to actually take a shot if they had an alt market on it, Scott, 5.5, right, and say that all 6 get taken. Bo Nix is 32.5. There's been market movement on Penix as well. He's down from 33.5 to 32.5, respectively, on FanDuel. Come back, we'll talk more draft, more quarterbacks, more futures. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
Continuing the conversation in the NFL draft as it relates to the quarterbacks and NFL teams, Scott, I do want to bring up this team because you and I haven't worked together, and I did see the press conference with Daniel Jones. He looked like Adam Gase 2.0 in regards to that press conference. The Giants have a serious problem on their hands. He's coming back from an injury. The pressure is on Dable and Shine to step up. It's New York. You have Drew Lock there. What does this team do? Because all eyes and everybody wants, the fan base wants neighbors, right? Or a big play wide receiver to help out their quarterback. But if the quarterback is not fit or the quarterback is not good this season, the Giants aren't even going to be a 7 or an 8 win football team.
Problem with that is you're right, but the GM and the head coach especially might not be there next year. So they don't have the luxury of drafting a quarterback saying, all right, you know what, if Danny Nichols, as I like to call him, stinks, you know, and then we bought him out again, you have 5-6 wins, whatever, head coach is probably gone. Probably, you know, after all the stuff that's happened this offseason, all the turmoil, all the bickering behind the scenes, and you can't get along with the guy and this and that, you know, head coach Shane may be a little bit more secure. But if you're the head coach, do you want to draft a quarterback or do you want to draft a guy that, you know, is going to help right away and, you know, maybe make them back to be a playoff team like they were 2 years ago? So and that's part of the equation. They better know, you know, they created this mess, Joe. You know, when they didn't pick up the fifth year option, which was dumb, and I'm not a Danny Nichols fan, but you have to really be bad not to pick up the fifth-year option. They didn't pick it up. Year number four, he was great, went to the playoffs last year or 2 years ago, and then they were stuck with not having another year left if they would have picked up the fifth year, but they didn't, so they had to give him a new fat four-year contract, albeit only 2 years guaranteed, but they recommitted to him versus leaving him in the dust after this last season. You know what? The fifth year is over. We're not going to re-sign him, and let's go draft ourselves another quarterback. I would draft another quarterback if I was the GM.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing, and that was from the financial perspective in regards to the Giants organization, right? In regards to what you said, not picking up the 50-year option with Daniel Jones, right? You know what the other problem was? And I have said this time and time again. 2 years ago, when Dable took over the team, there were no expectations for that team to be where they are right now, right? Meaning they were in a complete rebuild. They got one of the hottest offensive coordinators that turned around Alabama with Tua, and more importantly, he turned around Josh Allen's career in Buffalo, made him an MVP caliber type of quarterback, right? And there weren't no immediate expectations for the Giants. What they did, though, was succeed and hit the ground running in year one. They overexceeded every expectation, right? Which in New York, you know, is go big or go home, right? Once you set a level, you can't regress in any regards, right? So they make it to the second round of the playoffs against their arch rival, the Eagles. They get blown out. And the fan base says, okay, this is a stepping stone of things to come in 2023 and beyond. And what happens? The personnel is not there. The quarterback gets hurt. They regress. And now all of a sudden you're staring another potential 6-11 season in the face because the personnel was never there. You did a great job coaching in year one, but all you did was spin your wheels. And now you and the GM, well, the GM will probably stay, but Dable might be out of a job because everybody will be saying we got Bill Belichick waiting on the sidelines and he would love to have the job in New York.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Like, Belichick is all lined up for the job with the Giants. You know, he's lined up for the job with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, there's a lot of openings from prestigious jobs that, you know, very well could be in Belichick's lap. He's going to go from feast to famine here, or from famine to feast, I suppose. But that's the difference, though. That's what makes the NFL the NFL, Joe. 3 years ago, before the good year for the Giants, they finished in last place. which meant the following year, you got a last place schedule. And when you play a bunch of 3-13, 5-12, 7-10, 3-14 teams, if you're halfway decent, 4-13, those are the last place records, 6-11 that year. They got to play most of those teams the following year. And if you're halfway decent, you catch a couple of breaks here and there with that kind of easy schedule, you're going to go 10-7, 9-8. And fortunately, Minnesota, laid an egg. Thank you very much, Kirk Cousins, in the postseason. And all of a sudden, the Giants found themselves in the second round of the playoffs. But they got exposed by Philadelphia. And then back to reality, after having a real schedule and your quarterback getting hurt, things imploded, and now they're back to where they were 3 years ago, which is where they should have been probably 2 years ago, if not for the easy schedule.
Right, and think about the odds. They're 10-1 to win the NFC East. And you look at the drop-off. They are nowhere near closing the gap in terms of a personnel perspective, from an offensive perspective, right, in regards to the Cowboys and Eagles that are both plus 120 right now on FanDuel, right? So you go at plus 120, then you fall off a cliff to the Giants and Commanders. Commanders are starting a new regime. Dan Quinn is there, new ownership. You could only go up. Right, in regards to that. But for the Giants, where are you going right now? Like, you have a quarterback, he's an unknown. You don't even know if he's healthy. You don't know if his head is on straight based off of how he looked like a literal deer in the headlights with his eyes wide open. He looked like he was completely out of it. So if that's going to be the case, who do you rely on? Tommy Cutlets to take over the offense? I mean, Brian Daboll set himself up for failure without getting the right personnel with Joe Schoen in there from the first place. They were better off limping to a 3-14 first-year record where the fan base said, okay, we expect that. We're in a rebuild. But now where are they? They're in, like, no man's land. They're not anywhere near an NFC championship. Right? Like Green Bay with Jordan Love, or some of these young up-and-coming teams, Detroit, or even now, you want to throw in Chicago with a new fan base and new fervor. Where are they right now?
Yeah. This is one of the worst Giant teams as far as why am I going to go to the ballpark. Now, they'll always sell out. Jets to a lesser extent, but the Giants, they'll never have to worry about selling tickets. But just from the fan base of who's the face of the franchise, why am I going to go to the game? I remember the day. I'll date myself. I remember those days of burning up tickets, and having the airplane fly over the stadium. Giants stink and this and that. There's no, running back. You're going to go there because you're going to want to go see Devin Singletary? You're going to go there to go see Darius Slayton? Are you going there to see Danny Nichols or Drew Locke? No. I mean, they better draft somebody. They have no face in the franchise. I can't ever remember, as some of the worst Giant teams. Thibodeau, is that where you're going to go see Thibodeau, the linebacker? I mean, there's nothing there for the Giant fan. This team
maybe
is
Wandale
dead
Robinson?
As dead can be.
I don't know, Wandale Robinson. I mean, that is the problem. Sterling Shepard. I mean, Darren Waller's in. He's out. He still hasn't made a decision.
He's retiring.
If I'm the GM, hey, Darren, we don't want you. If it's taking you this long and you don't know, you do us a favor. Retire or look for somebody else. Because do you really want that type of player on your roster for 2024 when your backs are against the wall? Just doesn't make any sense to me. I will say this. I do remember the days of Ray Perkins. Think about this. When they did win with Parcells, right, maybe they didn't have the offensive names. They did have Joe Morris and all those other guys, Rand Carthon, but the defense had recognizable names. Thibodeau's in, he's out. They don't have a game changer in regards to a defensive player like a Myles Garrett or even a Micah Parsons. So in regards to that, you're right. The fan base, if this team loses early, they're going to implode. Now, I will say, just from the odds perspective, they're worth a shot at 10-1 just because in terms of back-to-back, when we talk about pricing the NFC East, right, we know there hasn't been a back-to-back winner. I can't either pay for the Eagles or Dallas at plus 120, but I could take a shot on the Giants if somehow, some way, Daboll pulls a rabbit out of a hat again.
Or Danny Nichols, turns into a good quarterback and picks up where he left off 2 years ago. If he's going to scramble around for his life, but, coming off a neck injury, because that's what he did, 2 years ago, he played great. I'll give him all the credit. Throwing the ball, running the ball, but he's not going to survive, doing that. And that's proven out last year. It's basically being proved out throughout the league. These quarterbacks just can't do that. So, and he's a little bit bigger than most other quarterbacks. I think this has got disaster, Joe. You could bet the 10-1 that they can give me 30-1, unless something crazy happens. How are they winning that division? I think Washington has a much better chance with new regime. Go get themselves a quarterback. Who knows? Maybe they get C.J. Stroud part two, and the guy they draft is the greatest thing in the world. I think Washington's got a better chance of winning that division than the Giants.
Well, they're both 10-1 to win the division, right? Giants are plus 420 to make the playoffs. Washington is plus 310 to make the playoffs. I will say, if Washington does, in fact, pull the trigger on Jaden Daniels, I'd make that bet right now. If it's going to be Drake May or J.J. McCarthy at number two for Washington, I'd bet to the no at minus 420. There's no shot with Dan Quinn. He's going to win games with J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. Jaden Daniels, absolutely. The guy, the pocket breaks down, he can take a game over with his legs. We'll come back. We'll talk about some sleeper teams for 2024 right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
And we are back talking sleepers, talking NFL draft. Nothing better. Just about a week away, next Thursday, April 25th, live from Detroit, I'll be part of the Sports Grid's coverage of the NFL draft, wall-to-wall, all day Thursday and Friday as well. You can check us out on the grid. We'll have you locked and loaded for first-round and second-round action and beyond. We'll take you straight through Mr. Irrelevant, so keep an eye out for that next week. But Scott, I did want to talk about potential sleepers this year as it relates to the market. Now, I did see, I don't know if you saw Pat Mahomes throwing to Hollywood Brown in OTAs for Kansas City. Hollywood Brown could be poised for a breakout season in Kansas City. But overall, couple of teams that I'm looking on, I've already talked about them last year, but I still think they have great value. The Rams with McVay, right, and Jordan Love in Green Bay, especially in the NFC, have to be two teams that are poised even to catapult where they were last year, right? Both playoff teams. I think they could really kick it up a notch and maybe be dark horses for an NFC championship.
Yeah, a little surprised the Rams over-under win total is only 8.5. Little juice, minus 124, but we've come to live with that type of juice. So they're not going to go 9-8. Now, the AFC this year, pretty sure has the extra home game, but that's a team that was on the up last year, right? With Puka Nacua, and you got to figure he's only going to get better and they get everybody healthy. Last year, where Matthew Stafford's contract is guaranteed, which is interesting, as far as little teams that may be searching for quarterbacks in the draft. But I like the Rams too. And, everything's gone smoothly here for San Francisco. It's so hard to stay on top for so long. You just wonder if something crazy is going to happen, whether it's McCaffrey or whatever the case may be. Things have gone relatively smoothly for San Fran in the regular season anyway. So I think the Rams, more than the Packers. I got to see Jordan Love do it again. Jordan Love's also an unrestricted free agent. They did a weird thing last year. They didn't pick up his fifth year because right. He hadn't played. He was just sitting on the bench. Right. So what, are we going to guarantee you $20 million? You haven't played basically one down, right, because they had Aaron Rodgers. So they reworked his contract, and basically they took off the fifth year and gave him his $20 million last year. So he's going to be a free – well, between last year and this year. So he's right. Going to be an unrestricted free agent after this year. So here's a guy that was second in the NFL in passing touchdowns. If he has another year like that, you talk about guys setting the market, he's in that position. Green Bay at 9.5, they're going to go 10-7 in that division? I would think so. championship caliber, though? I don't know about that.
Well, think about this, okay? And I broke down the numbers leading up to that playoff game against San Francisco. He had thrown an average around 275 yards per game from, like, mid-November. Right,
pretty good.
Straight through the playoff loss to the San Francisco 49ers. He had only thrown three interceptions and around 23 touchdowns. So if you get that type of productivity for a complete season, I mean, if you just, you know, you break it out, you're talking at least 35 to 40 touchdowns and maybe six INTs. You'll sign up for that any day of the week as an NFL organization, right? And the fact that he is mobile and brings the RPO game to a degree, didn't run as much in the second half of the season because he became a better pocket passer, you add that attribute to his game in terms of pocket awareness, sky's the limit, right? I mean, we're talking about a team that only lost to San Francisco by three, actually had them on the ropes. They had the ball with a minute left. I mean, you could say it was LaFleur, you could say it was bad coaching at the end, but, you know, they had them on the ropes. The game plan was perfect to knock off the 49ers in their house. And if that defense gets a little bit better, that's why I'm buying in.
Yeah, listen, the numbers are there. We talk about the guys coming out of the draft, how the numbers aren't there, they're not there, right? They are there. One interception his last eight games, in the regular season, having two
phenomenal,
against San Fran,
right?
None against Dallas. Yeah, 18 touchdown passes. Like you said, second in the NFL. I mean, how many people would really guess, like good football people, you know, give me the top two NFL quarterbacks for touchdowns. I don't think they would get Jordan Love as being number two, and he was. So... I got to see it another year, but they are definitely on the rise. But I don't know if they're necessarily at that level. I think last year, NFC, not that things probably changed that much, but, you know, even Tampa Bay, we can make the case, should have beat the Detroit Lions. You know, they had the ball. That one possession, 2 minutes left, and Baker Mayfield throws the interception, right? But they're in a position to beat the Lions. San Fran's in a position to beat San Fran. Or Green Bay, rather, is in a position to beat San Fran. I mean, ultimately, did they do it? No, but... You know, just like the Giants, going back to that conversation 2 years ago, when they reached the second round, are the Packers in a position to go one step further or maybe take a step back? They're more inclined to take a step back, but we'll see. Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Plus 850 to win the NFC right now. They're behind the Eagles, Dallas, Detroit, and San Fran. Now, I'll bring up two teams. Okay, and I believe they're at a crossroads, okay, and you might laugh at one of them. But one from the AFC and one from the NFC, okay? The one from the AFC is the Cleveland Browns. And the reason why I bring that up is they're 20-1 to win the conference, all right? When you saw what Joe Flacco was able to do, scrape him up off the street, 38 years old, the guy throws four games for 300 yards. Granted, they lost to C.J. Stroud and the Texans. But if you can get that type of productivity out of the passing game, right, in terms of a journeyman quarterback, and the guy that you paid $200-plus million, Deshaun Watson, to date, doesn't have a 300-yard passing game under his belt, you have a significant problem in regards to your organization. Secondly, I still think the foundation is there now with Jerry Jeudy and Amari Cooper to elevate this team. How teams and how the books can have teams like the Chargers and the Jets ahead of the Cleveland Browns to win the AFC, I just can't figure it out. This is a team that really has to make a decision on Watson and to me has great odds for the AFC this year.
Yeah, it's funny. George and I ran through a couple of quarterbacks, and I asked him yesterday here on Football Full Circle. I said, "Where are we with Deshaun Watson? Right? Is he done now? Obviously he's not done as far as playing, but are we done with like anointing him a really good quarterback? I mean, the Browns should be pretty good." I mean, they got weapons. They got great back. You know, as long as Chubb is back healthy, they have the two wide receivers now. Good tight end core. It's up to Deshaun Watson to kind of come through. At 40-1, you know, you want value. Hate that phrase, right? But value, they to me would be the one. Tough division, Joe. I mean, that's I think built into that 40-1. If they were in the AFC South, they would not be 40-1. But unfortunately for them, they're in the AFC North, and any one of those other three teams, whether it's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati could all win the division. They could be on the outside looking in. But I would take a flyer on them. I am curious. George didn't have a real answer, but why didn't Cleveland re-sign Flacco? And it's not like they brought in, you know, a quarterback that people wouldn't be clamoring for. And then that they didn't want Flacco around because of one bad game from Watson, and they're going to say bring Flacco back in for what he did last year. But, I mean, they brought in Jameis Winston. So not the same level as Flacco, but at least a quarterback that has accomplished a little bit, whereas if Deshaun does lousy, they're going to be clamoring for Winston. So I don't know why they just didn't bring Flacco back.
No, they claim that it was an age issue, that they wanted to get younger at the position. I believe it was a locker room issue. Because, again, we talk about the numbers that Flacco had in regards to Cleveland. He made Amari Cooper a ton of money in regards to his productivity. 264 receiving yards against Houston in the regular season win. Right? He threw for 150 yards to just straight David Njoku in the win over the Jets when they clinched a playoff spot. You weren't getting that type of productivity out of Deshaun when all those players were there. So from that aspect, when you have a quarterback that's seeing the field clearly or you're opening up your playbook, I think it would cause a locker room situation. I don't care what Stefanski and the GM have said. I don't think it's an age issue. I think it comes down to, you know what? Flacco seemed like he had a better understanding of the offense, or at least they were able to open it up more with Flacco than they were with Watson. Because when Watson was there, they were a one-dimensional offense. Run it with Chubb until we die.
Yeah. Who cares about how old Flacco is? You know, he's only 1 year older than he was last year, and he was phenomenal, right? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You know, that, come up with another excuse. Say he wanted too much money. Honest and just say, listen, we didn't want the chance of a division in the locker room. We got $50 million a year invested in this guy, and last thing we want is the fan base yelling and screaming for this guy.
Right. So I agree. I agree, Scotty. I guess we'll see how it plays out because they're going to have to answer those questions if Watson doesn't step up and at least have a hint of a vertical passing game now with Cooper and Judy, you know, 1-2, the former Alabama tandem. Here's the other team I wanted to throw out, Chicago. And the reason why I say that is, yeah, new starting quarterback, most likely it's Caleb Williams, right? You want to talk about expectation with Eberflus? How the books could put Chicago at 22-1 ahead of Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans that actually won a playoff game last year, right? And their defense was actually pretty good at the end of the regular season. How the books think Caleb Williams is going to give that much shot of an arm to the Chicago offense that there's going to be no growing pains. They're a 22-1 shot to win it all in year one.
Yeah, the odds on them to make the playoffs, yes, is even money. No, is only minus 124. I mean, C.J. Stroud has such an effect on the boys in Vegas and the public. Folks, it's not easy to do what he and the Houston Texans did. I mean, that is so, so rare. I can give you 1,000 examples of quarterbacks, all-time great quarterbacks whose first years were disaster or just mediocre. To think that he's going to carry this team like they were a quarterback away from being a playoff team. I know they played a little better at the end of last season, but I'm going to be all, when we get a little bit closer, I'm going to be all over that minus 124.
Me
I know
too.
It's not a difficult division, but they're not beating out the Lions, so it's got to be as a wild card. I don't think they're ready.
Well, think about this. Let's just break it down in the division, right? They don't have a better quarterback than Jordan Love. They don't have a better quarterback from a productivity standpoint than Jared Goff. Those two are solidified starters. So if they go 0-4 potentially against both of those teams, how are they going to make it to the playoffs or even challenge that 8.5 win total? I just don't see it. I just don't see where the correlation is because Caleb Williams, you can make the argument, didn't win a big game at USC.
Yeah. People think he's going to come in and be the greatest thing in the world. Maybe he will. I don't know. But, I think he'll be a guy that's going to throw the ball around. In fact, they got a prop, 3,350 yards for Caleb Williams' first year. I do like that. I do like the over because he's starting right away. He's going to get, barring injury, 17 games. And, you know, nearly every quarterback last year that played 16 games or more hit that number. So I think he will as well. But I don't think they're going to be in the win column, though.
A lot of pressure on Matt Eberflus. I think he's a human anchor to any offense, and he's out as head coach in 2025. We'll come back and wrap it up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel.
And we're back. An hour flies when Scott and I are talking about NFL and college football. Nothing better. Season just not about, what, 6 months away, Scotty? Man, not even. About 3 months away before we start college football. But we talked about Caleb Williams. I think we're in agreement that there's going to be, for the most part, some sort of growing pains should he go to the Chicago Bears. So that being said, offensive rookie of the year, mark it. Caleb is plus 350. Harrison Jr. at 6-1. Neighbors at plus 650. And Roma Duse at 10-1. Jaden Daniels, 13-1. Now, It all comes down to talent and the fit, right? Some of these wide receivers, they go to like Cleveland. I'm not so sure I want to reach up and make them for rookie of the year, right? Because how many times they're going to throw the football. But for Jaden Daniels at 13-1, I think I would take that shot right here, right now.
I think that's one that I would put down right now. You're right, Joe. I don't need to have him go to Washington. I don't think he's going to go to New England. I think Washington will take him. So because of that, I think they'll throw the football. New regime, new everything. They're not going to hand the ball off. He's got a position to win a couple of games, too, and make his mark more so, I think, than Caleb Williams. So I would take that. That 13-1, hate the value thing, but I do like that.
Yeah.
I wanted to get your thoughts real quickly on Virginia. Yesterday, saying that this, you know, that schools can now pay kids in college to play football rather than have to go through a sponsor.
Yeah.
This is disastrous.
Here is the end of formidable college football. And even I'll tell you this now, Scott, I've said it time and time again. If you don't think it's trickling into high school football, they're going to have a major problem on their hands in about 3 or 4 years because it's just getting started. You have to be able to control it. For our great producer, Danny Ohlers, Scott Wetzel, I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.